Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and on this Canada Day, we wish you the Lord's blessing. Did you know that this was formerly known as Dominion Day up until 1982, when it was changed by Pierre Elliott Trudeau? Well, he was at least partly involved in that political change. What was wrong with Dominion Day? Dominion really is a biblical term, and it's found in Psalm 72, verse 8. We are told in that psalm, "He shall have dominion from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth." And those who were involved in the British Act, British National Act, they called it Dominion Day. And it is reported that it came from the Bible, Psalm 72, verse 8. And how this is a land from coast to coast that leads to the nations of the world. And I trust that today God will bless our nation with his favor and his mercies. We ought to be repenting over national sins. We ought to be crying out to God for deliverance, not just from the effects of a pandemic, but from the curse of sin that is all too rampant in this nation. We are thankful, of course, for every opportunity to preach the gospel, and that is the hope of this nation. We do not put our trust in men or political parties. We put our trust in the name of the Lord of hosts, and we believe that when the Lord visits in grace to revive his church and to stir up the hearts of men to seek the Lord, that there then will be a mighty blessing upon this nation. Now, on this Canada Day, I want to continue giving you my own testimony. We commenced with this yesterday. It was the first half of the testimony, and then today we continue. And I do thank God for his mercies to me, for saving my soul, calling me to be a gospel preacher, and calling me to Canada. I arrived here in 1984, and for 37 years have been pastoring the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, British Columbia. And I trust that God will continue to use the messages of the gospel that have been preached and the people that have been confirmed in the faith. As we press on in this work of gospel ministry, we look to the Lord to bless his word. And I trust that you are a regular listener of our Let the Bible Speak programs. And if you need further help, give me a call or go to our website, ltbs.ca. And there you'll get all the information you need concerning our radio ministry, gospel literature, articles, how to live the Christian life. Also look for the little booklet called A New Beginning, and there are a number of links to our Free Presbyterian denomination, our seminary, and our church magazine, Current. And I hope that that will indeed be a blessing to you. So stay tuned for the remainder of this testimony.
Attend to those meetings regularly. Of course, I had a double encouragement to go along to church. There was a skip in my step going to church now for the other reason. And I didn't want to miss any meetings because that was my opportunity to meet Beulah. And I would sit and hear the preaching. I tell you, it was the boldest preaching I've ever heard. It was the clearest Bible preaching I ever heard. And I had an immediate attraction to this kind of preaching, though I wasn't used to it. The minister that I went to as a boy in the Presbyterian church, he used to tell stories about Johnny. That was about the height of anything I remember. But I heard the Bible expounded, and I heard the gospel preached. And for a couple of months, I heard the message. One Sunday evening in another church, I heard a minister preach on the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, not only to cleanse us from our sin, but to keep us from sin. And I needed to hear that, because I was starting to ask, how could I ever live as a Christian? How could I ever turn my life around and live as I ought to live? And I heard that night that not only would the Lord wash away my sins, but he would give me his power to live the Christian life. And I can remember going out of that service, sitting in the back seat of the car in the parking lot in the dark. Meetings over there seemed to be very late in the evenings. And it's usually dark when you would come out, even in the summer evening. And I was troubled. But I put it off. I didn't do anything about my salvation that night. And I went a whole week and then attended our own church in Omaha the following Sunday evening. The preacher was the Reverend Reggie Cranston. His subject was the unpardonable sin, the sin that the blood of Christ cannot cleanse away. And that is, of course, the sin of saying no to the striving of the Holy Spirit. If you say no to the Holy Spirit striving with you, there's no forgiveness for that sin. And boy, was I troubled in my heart as the preacher preached down that line. And it wasn't, I don't know, halfway through, I was just itching for the meeting to end, that I could get saved. And so immediately after the service, both Beulah and I, we had been sitting together in church at that time, and we went into the little prayer room with the minister, and he asked if I wanted to call on the Lord for salvation. Now you might wonder, what did I do to get saved? Well, we simply opened the Bible. And I don't really remember the passage that that minister used, but if I was to sit with you and share with you how you might be saved and call on the Lord for your salvation, I would take you to the book of Romans, chapter 10. And if you'd like to open that passage right now, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Let me read it one more time. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so the Bible gives us clear instruction in what it is required of you to call on the Lord. Believe that the Lord Jesus has been raised from the dead, conqueror over death, and the giver of life to all who trust in him. And that night, whatever text was used, I called on the Lord to save me. And he did. You might wonder, how did you know? Well, the very next day, I made a little trip to my uncle and aunt's home, and in their company for a short period of time, I heard my aunt take the name of the Lord Jesus in vain. Now, she had a bad habit of that, but it never troubled me before. But it troubled me deeply that day. I remember it 46 years later. It must have really troubled me. And I knew that I now was on a different side of the fence. And I knew that the Lord was my Savior and that she was using the name of my Lord. I remember the first time that I tried to pray in a church prayer meeting in that little prayer room at the side of that modular building. I stuttered and stammered, but I got the victory. And what a victory it was to be able to pray with God's people. And that was the beginning of my Christian life. Finding communion with the Lord and knowing the blessing of God's salvation. Christians were very encouraging to me, including Beulah and her family. And many in the church were very encouraging. And then we had the first opportunity given to me to preach. It was a youth fellowship meeting, and I invited my farming friends from the Young Farmers Club, and a few of them came. And I preached that evening on John 3:16. I don't know if you'd call it a proper sermon or not, but I opened the Bible and I talked about John 3:16. And God did something very special. There was a young boy in that meeting got saved. And I had the joy of taking him to the minister's room in the church and showing him how to be saved. And to help me show him, I needed a little booklet called Christ is the Answer. And we looked up some verses and he called on the Lord to save him. That was the beginning of my preaching career. And before long, I was preaching nearly every Sunday. The Free Presbyterian Church had grown so quickly, had planted so many churches within a decade, that there were more churches than preachers. There were vacant pulpits. And if the word got out that somebody could preach, well, you got called on all the time. And before long, Beulah and I would go along to churches, would preach in the morning, have lunch with people, and then stay in the afternoon and preach again in the evening and arrive back late at night. We did that for months and months, and it was great training, great way to meet Christians, great way to enter into church life, and God opened up doors for me to preach. Then in 1976, Dr. Frank McClelland, who was a minister in Northern Ireland at the time, was going out to Toronto to plant a Free Presbyterian church, the first ever outside that little country of Northern Ireland. And he came and spoke of his burden to go to Toronto, and of course included the great need for young men to be preachers and ministers. And oh boy, did the arrow go straight to my heart. And that Sunday afternoon, I knew I've got to settle this question. Is God calling me to be a minister and a preacher of the gospel? Well, that week I prayed and prayed and prayed. And I remember one night praying into the wee hours of the morning. And I remember getting up from my knees and I said, I know that God has called me to preach the gospel. I went to the minister of the church and I didn't ask him, do you think that it might be possible that God would call me to preach? I didn't ask that. I said to him, what do I need to do to start into training to be a minister of the gospel? And I was so clear in my mind that it was indeed the call of God. So from 1974, when I was converted, entered Bible College in 1977. Beulah and I got married in 1978, and that's when I got my first church as a student minister. 1 year of study completed, the presbytery placed me in charge of a little church. And so for the remaining 3 years, I studied, pastored, preached, all in one. And Beulah backed me all the way. And I'm very, very thankful for her support. The end of that time, I got ordained, called to a church also in Northern Ireland, 1981. And in 1982, I made my very first visit to Canada Beulah had been before here to visit family in Ontario, and I joined her after we were married, and actually Ewan was born. He was 1 year old, and it was the first trip to Canada. And lo and behold, I got an invitation to preach in Calgary. The minister there was very new. He was pioneering a work and he had never had a break. And so I was invited to go out to Calgary and to fill in for a weekend Sunday, Tuesday meeting as well. And it was at the Tuesday meeting that the Lord really did something in my heart. There were people in prayer praying for friends in Vancouver. Vancouver. And it clicked with me. At the end of that meeting, when I was going out the door, a lady opened her Bible and she pointed to Jeremiah 3, verse 15, which says, "I will give you pastors after my heart." I had no idea why she was showing me that. I'm not sure if she did, but God knew. And that really was the seed planted in my heart that this now was possibly the will of God for me. Obviously, being still young, in a new country, it's easy to get enchanted. It's easy to get fuzzy ideas. And so I knew enough to say nothing and go back to my church where I've been newly ordained just a year and continue pastoring, preaching there. I knew that if this was of God, that the burden would only grow, and it did. I took almost another year, 9 months really, and I remember being in the church study in the mornings, praying and praying about this, and God really convicted me. And I came to the point where I understood that I would be living with second best if I did not rise to the challenge. And so I wrote to Dr. McClelland and I said to him, "I feel this is the will of God. Tell me what to do." And so it was another year, 1984, before Beulah and I arrived here in Canada and in British Columbia. There's a cause. The cause was the preaching of the gospel outside the camp. That's how the Bible puts it. Separated unto the gospel, separate from the World Council of Churches, to be a preacher in a denomination where we are free from liberalism and modernism and from all the trendy things that bring the world in. And so we set out to the work of God here in this congregation. And so the question still comes, is there not a cause? As I look back over the 36 years in this area and the ups and downs and the opportunities, the open doors, the closed doors that we've had, what has the Lord done? Well, we can certainly say there is yet a great work to do. Is there not a cause? You see, the mainline churches in Canada are just like the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. The majority of them in 1948 signed on to the World Council of Churches, including the Salvation Army, including the Methodists, the Anglicans, the Presbyterian Church in Canada. Not all became formal members, but the leaven of such false unity crept into many evangelical and Christian circles. And it has done irreparable harm in this nation. And so today there is need for a denomination and congregations to be separated unto the gospel, that will preach and teach the word of God without fear of man, and to raise the standard high. In 2005, the Free Presbyterian Church of North America was formed of congregations in Canada and the United States. I can't go in tonight to tell you all the background of various congregations. We have some 20, 22 congregations that are a part of this denomination. And I can say to you tonight that it is a great blessing to me to be a minister in a denomination or church where I can meet any man and pray with him and preach with him and invite him to my pulpit and say, lose him and let him go. Let him preach with all his might without any fear that he's going to introduce some false doctrine. That's the liberty that obedience to the word of God brings. And that's the blessing that comes to the people of God. I want to say tonight that the Free Presbyterian Church is here to stay. Now, that might sound like a bragging, boastful statement, but I believe God. I believe with David, is there not a cause? I know there are the Philistines. I know there are the enemies. But is there not a cause? And God has given us a seminary, young men that are training, not nearly enough of them. And I beg of you to be much in prayer that God will call many more young men to prepare themselves to preach the gospel in North America. The need is staggering, absolutely staggering, and we need to be much in prayer. I wasn't sure tonight whether to say anything about my looming retirement that's coming up in March, Lord willing, if I get there. I can hardly believe that that has come upon me. I believe it is best for me to continue the radio ministry and allow a young man to come and be the pastor of the church as the elders and the interim moderator, who is yet to be appointed, will guide this congregation. And we believe that the work of God will go on. God buries his workmen, but he continues to bless the work. And you need to believe that tonight, and I need to believe that. But what about your salvation? What about the great issue of your soul? Is there not a cause? There is a Philistine in your life. It's the devil. He's mighty. He's vicious. He's out to destroy your soul. He's out to bring you down. But there is a wonderful Savior I want to point you to tonight. And you need to know my Lord Jesus, the one who on September 1st, 74, met with me in that little prayer room and saved my soul. He will save you also. If you turn to his word, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that God hath raised him from the dead, and believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. I pray that tonight I might have the joy of meeting with you in our prayer room and you calling on the Lord to save your soul. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that crown the meeting with joy tonight? Is there not a cause? Christian, how long have you been a Christian now? How long have you been attending this church? Is there not a cause? Give your all to the work of the gospel. Give your all to the stand and the truth of the gospel. And what a blessed life you will live, out and out for Jesus. May God bless you and keep us. I trust I'll have the opportunity to preach for many more years, one way or another, somewhere or other. It's all in the Lord's hands. But I can say tonight, 46 years later, I have no regrets. I'll say that to Beulah too. I have no regrets. And I will say that about my Savior. I have no regrets. I will say that about preaching, and preaching under the banner of the FPC denomination. God has been good and gracious. Let's unite together in prayer and give our thanks to the Lord. Father, we praise Thee for Thy loving kindness to us. We look over the fleeting years and we just say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. We give all glory to Your name. We give all praise to the One who purchased us by His own blood, to the eternal God who chose us, the Son of God who bought us, and the Holy Spirit of God who wrought it within us. Thank You for Your saving and keeping power. Bless Your word tonight. Use it for Your own glory. Be with us in the week to come. Keep us in the hollow of Your hand. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with your redeemed now and evermore. Amen.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, call me free of charge from anywhere in Canada at 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.